Morning. The Weinberg asked me to speak today about the subject of going in front of planning boards, variance boards, zoning boards to accomplish things that are not always so accomplishable in Desmond. You have to understand when we talk about this, it's two completely different subjects. When we talk about something that you're entitled to in Bezdin, or something that you're not entitled to in Bezdin. Something that you're entitled to in Bezdin, obviously the first recourse should be in Bezdin, and if Bezdin feels it's appropriate, they'll send you to the appropriate government board. But we're talking about things that are not really schusim that people have in Bezdin. How high the neighbor's fence should be, if he's entitled to an extension, if he's not entitled to an extension, if he could subdivide the lot. Not things that are really discussed in Shulchan Aruch. However, the minigan town has always been this way, and I want to enforce what I perceive as my schusim as a member of the neighborhood. When discussing the Shaila, most Paiskim will immediately invoke the Ma'arik. There's a famous Ma'arik that talks about Cheskes Yishuv. People lived in a town, and in Europe, it seems there was a problem with finding a place to live. Most towns didn't want an overabundance of Jews, and if somebody wanted to move into town, it wasn't always all that simple. You had to have a reshus from the Tsar. Some people sold the rights, some people inherited the rights, some people got the rights by marriage, but it wasn't always so simple just to move into town. And the Ma'arik says that if somebody wants to move into town, and the people of town don't want him there, they have a right to go to the Tsar Ha'ir and use his power to keep the person out. Tremendous chiddush in the Ma'arik. Beis Yosef brings the Ma'arik in Siman Kuf Nun Vav, and the Beis Yosef in Berakah Abaye says it can't be. There's just no such halacha. There's no heter whatsoever to go to a sar, a goy, and have him push somebody out of the town. It can't be that the Ma'arik says he's machmir completely and completely negates the words of the Ma'arik. The Ramah does bring the Ma'arik with his own twist, and the Ramah says that it's talking about where the people living in town felt that they were coming in sakana, because the goyim will see too many yidden moving into town, and it's going to provoke anti-Semitism, and therefore the Ma'arik felt that it was a sakana, a shayla sakana, so it was mutter to go to the Tsar Ha'ir and keep people out. But in the case where it's not a sakana, Ma'arik never meant to say his halacha. Say Shuvah is full of many Shuvahs, people invoking the Ramah, rightfully or not rightfully. There were people that wanted to keep other people of the same business out of town, and they brought their amas right that they were able to do so. Whatever it was, it's mashma from both the Beis Yosef and the Ramah. For sure, in the case where there's no sakana involved, you would not be allowed to go to the Sahara. And everybody says, here you have kla halacha, that it's also to go to the Sahara. And the emes is, I don't think it's an appropriate tushta at all. And the reason is, when I want to move into town, I have nothing with you. Our relationship is zero. I want to move in, you want to keep me out, we have nothing to do with each other. When people live in a neighborhood together, people bought houses together, there's a shutris, there's a niske shenim, and there's all kinds of halachas that regulate how we're going to interact with each other as long as we're here together in the neighborhood. The whole parak l'yachba, with all this kesheinim, almost the whole parak l'yachba, is predicated on the fact that when two people buy houses together in the same area, we have a relationship that's going to be machayev, that we respect each other's needs. We respect each other's privacy. We respect each other's right to panosa. We respect each other's needs for growth. And sometimes I can't open a store because you're here first, and sometimes you can't stop me from opening a store because I also live here. And the whole Ayachra and the whole Hilchas Nezika and Hilchas Nezike Shenim is based on the fact that people that live together in the same area have to get some basic ground rules by which they're going to live and by which they're going to interact together. There's a very interesting Shuvas Hagayinim that's brought by the Behetev in Siman Kuf Nun Vav, brings it from Knesset Gdela, that says that if somebody wants to bring in a shachan ro, it's not cool if he's talking about renting or selling to a shachan ro. The kol shema atom, I'm entitled to stop him. Obviously, he's talking about a bezin, but the Shulchan Aruch Sanhedrin says that our neighborhood was a safe neighborhood. I didn't want lowlifes that you want to rent to for an extra $100 coming in here. I'm entitled to stop you from bringing them in because you're ruining the neighborhood. And that comes from the fact that when we bought houses together, we understood it was based on the fact that we're going to keep the neighborhood to the standard that it was up to before. I didn't invest my life savings in this house where I'm going to be living and for you to destroy it tomorrow because you want to make another few dollars rent. That wasn't the understanding that we got involved in the same neighborhood together. And therefore the Shulchan Aruch Sanhedrin says, I could stop you. That's the chayra, this shutfas that we see in a city, in a neighborhood, where everybody is achrayi to each other for the basic needs of the neighborhood. There's also chiyuvim to be mishtatif in the need of a city. You have to be mishtatif to build the roads, you have to be mishtatif to build the shul, you have to be mishtatif to build the mikveh, you have to be mishtatif for everything that a city needs. And this is all based on the fact that, I never said I would do it, I understand, but when you bought a house in the neighborhood is one big shutfas, it's one big conglomeration, and you have to live up to the needs and ideals of the neighborhood. If that's true, Let's preface by saying the Issa HaKoyis, the Issa of going to a Goyisha court, is, as far as Shulchan Aruch is concerned, from the worst Issum that you could do. It says, Zmeir Miyad B'Teres Meisha, Gehenim Kolim Hoinim Kola. Going to HaKoyis is something that's really, really taken very, very strictly. We put him in Chayim. We put the lawyer that helps him in Chayim. We put the Eidim in Chayim. Anybody that helps, anybody go to our Kais. Because the basic understanding is, our Torah was given to us by no less than HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, and Har Sinai Ha'idei Meshe Abeinu. The Ketusha with its whole beauty. And if you're going to take the whole Torah and say, that's fine, but Leroy said otherwise, That's the ultimate Chilul Hashem that there is in the world. There's nothing. There's no greater Chilul Hashem that's Shaykh. And Mamela, to be Miyaka Elilim, to say that their laws are more important than Torah laws is completely unconscionable. One of the most misconstrued, you say this in Yiddishkeit, is Dina de Mafus Adina. The Derech Klal, the bigger the Amoros, the more he invokes Dina de Mafus Adina. Because he seems to think that it's true Torah was given until George Washington, and from George Washington we have a whole new set of laws, and everybody knows that. It's not the case. Rishonim have tremendous machlokes what Dina de Mafus Adina is. Whatever Dina de Mafus Adina means, it's either the Dina B'nai Gay running a country, taxes, the rules of the kingdom, or it means the rules that they have, because one of the zaymits is neinech, is to be meshes dinim and mishpatim, and to run a country according to rules. Those dinim might have halachic ramifications. Or the Ramah says, dinim de malchusa means that in cases where halacha says we go basa umdama, in cases where we would want to know what was the implication of a transaction before we got involved, then we would go bas adin the malchusa with the assumption that whatever the law of the land was, that was the premise that you got involved in the transaction. But it's not to mean in any way that we just go bas adin the malchusa. It's a very interesting note. There's one of the bigger shivas here in America doesn't allow any of the Talmidim to become lawyers unless they become tax lawyers. And his reasoning is, a lawyer bends the law, lies to the judge, for his client, for whatever sake it may be, and doesn't necessarily, he's not necessarily a mevakesh emes, he's not looking for the ultimate truth. A tax lawyer, he says, whatever the judge rules, that's the law. There's nothing illegal, corrupt, subversive about anything that he's going to say, and therefore there's nothing wrong with being a tax lawyer. With this Havana and Dina de Malchusa, we can understand a little bit. If we get involved in a neighborhood, And we're here together, and we understand that we're going to be doing this together. The assumption is, you won't build a fence unless the planning board agrees. You won't make your extension unless the zoning board feels it's appropriate for you to be making an extension. You won't subdivide and all of a sudden put 10 houses where there was one before, unless the people elected by the township agree to it. And it's not because of Dina de Malchusa that we're saying so, but it's because these are the assumptions that we all got involved in the transaction, these are the assumptions that we all got involved in buying together in this neighborhood. And based on those assumptions, we're going to come together to decide our differences. Not because I think that the law makes any more sense than Beis Din, but because the halacha in Beis Din is, when we have a difference of opinion on what the neighborhood should look like, we're going to work it out together by the planning board.
So what am I later if I go ahead and I do a construction in the attic without anybody knowing?
Probably nothing.
But it's not according to the zoning board.
Okay, but it's not, it has nothing to do with any of the neighbors. It's none of their business. And nothing's going on. It doesn't affect them in any way. If you put an apartment in your basement, and now there's more people parking on the street, then you would have a problem. But if your attic was raw, and you decide to finish it so your kids could sleep up there, whose business is it? If we need a raya to such a yisoid, there's a very interesting Rebbe who brings a Shuvas Rashach. Rebbe brings, somebody wanted to take somebody to Beis Din. This is in Simon Gimel and Hilchos Beis Din. It's not in Simcha Vav where we have the halachas of going in front of our kohes, but it's in Simon Gimel, the beginning of Hilchos Dayanim. Somebody decides that he wants to go to Beis Din. He calls his friend to Beis Din. His friend says, no, no, no. Being that we dealt in an industry that has a board that arbitrates all disputes when they get this industry, I'll only go to that board. It's very common today in the diamond industry, where there's a diamond board, and any dispute is brought to the diamond board, and they love dafka being done al pidinei atera. They're not chamid chacham, they never learn shulchan aruch. They don't know anything about halacha. But all deals on 47th Street are done based on the diamond board. If we have a dispute, we'll go there and arbitrate our disagreement. The Shach says that that's okay. And the reason why it's okay is because that was the assumption that we got into when we started our business transaction. It was that we're going to arbitrate our dispute there. Not because that's the halacha, but because being that that was the assumption that we had when we got involved in the first place, the halacha is that they're the ones that should make the, that should arbitrate the dispute. No, you can't make it tonight that we're going to go to Goy. That's mufush halacha that in. No, the board is the point that since we don't know what the assumption is, we don't understand the agreement between ourselves. The board will tell us how the diamond industry works and what our assumptions were. It's not to say that the board is going to pass in against halacha. And it's very clear in Shulchan Aruch that if you make a tenai and if you make a neder that you're going to go to Akum, Tarakoyes, you don't have to keep the neder. The question is if you have to follow through with whatever knas you made. If you say, if we don't go to court, I'm going to give you $1 million, it could be I do, it could be I don't have to give the $1 million, but I can't go to Tarakoyes either way. That's absolutely. That the associate cannot, you can't make any condition. But the halacha is that we're getting involved in the transaction based on the assumption that if there's a disagreement, if there's a dispute, if there's something that we don't understand about the transaction, we're going to go there and they're going to tell us what our assumptions were. Now, if I call you a ganef, you call me, you say you're not a ganef, and we're going to find out something that's not subject to this board's discretion. Meaning it's not subject to the rules of this industry, but it's subject to the general Chesh and Mishloach, then you're right, we can't go to the board. But it's because it's subject to this specific industry standard, and that means they're the ones that are going to decide what our premise was when we got involved, that's not going around halacha, but that's just clarifying what the halacha position would be.
In fact, if the guy says, uses a certain term to describe the diamond, one says, I thought you meant this, and I thought you meant that. That's what the board...
Right. So they hear also. And now, it's very important to point out, the Rashach never says about going to Goyim. If you look in the Rashach specifically, he never discusses going in front of Goyim. He only discusses going in front of Amaratzim. Now, truth be told, there is a halacha that if we decide that we want to go in front of Gimel Roei Bakar, we decide that Bez and Niven knows what they're talking about anyway. We might as well just go to three Roei Bakar who always understand better, and you mekabel them, you're allowed. And it could be that is the basis for the Rashach. The does not learn the Rashach that way. The learns that it's more of an understanding that we got into it from the beginning, that this is where we can arbitrate our differences in this specific area. If that's true, then so too in front of a planning board, when we have a difference of opinion, and we have to understand what the neighborhood is supposed to look like. Rabbi Weinberger lives in a neighborhood where 50 houses went up and everybody was enjoying themselves until one guy decided to put up a pool. He said, what are you doing? How are you putting up a pool? He says, it's not a problem. Put up a 30-foot fence. No, we don't want your pool. We don't want your 30-foot fence. Okay, does it say it anyway? It doesn't say it anyway, but that's, nobody came here to this neighborhood to have their whole view blocked. Such an issue would go in front of the planning board. If it's a planning board that understands the issues, they would knock it down. But the other planning boards would just let everything go. One more thing we have to point out. There's two things. There are cases where a planning board would not be the right venue. For instance, if you feel that the proposed construction is a shaila of being a mazik. If you have an area that's completely rural and everybody's living on 3 acres of property, and somebody buys up three properties next to each other and decides that he wants to put up 60 houses, and all of a sudden your rural area is becoming Central Avenue, that's a question of mazik. My property values are going down. This is not what I came here for at all, and you're destroying my property, you're destroying the value of my property. That's definitely something you could bring to Bezdin. There are other cases where people get a little bit nitpicky and, you know, they just can't begin to see somebody else make an addition, and therefore they go running to the planning board. And the chayyur, that's something you should bring to Bezdin and say, will he just leave me alone? Bezdin does have a jurisdiction to tell somebody, you don't belong going in front of the planning board, even though it's something that usually could go in front of the planning board. Somebody has 10 children living in 2 bedrooms, and he wants to make an extension in his backyard. Well, no, it's not bothering anybody, except that the footprint of his house would be 10% over the allowable limit. So all the neighbors are running to the planning board to stop him. Nothing happened. If the guy's going to come to Bezdin, Bezdin's going to tell him, why are you bothering him? Why can't you let him just go? It's his house, it's his backyard, he's not bothering you in any way. It could be you got him on the letter of the law, and you're not going to allow him to get the variance, but that's not something, that's not where you should be going. I will end by saying, now laws are complicated. They're very township specific. You have to understand exactly what the hanochas were when people lived in this town. For instance, in Brooklyn, there are a lot of laws. There's a lot of boards. I don't think anybody ever bought a house in Brooklyn subjecting themselves to the laws and the boards. They're only there if your neighbor masses, then you have to figure out how to get the inspector paid off. But nobody ever really felt when I bought a house in Borough Park that I'm going to keep half the property in the backyard green. Never happened. Therefore, I really would hope that nobody will sit away from here passing shaylos, but at least you understand what the issues are. You can go to a rav and you can figure out where you should be heading with your dispute, if it's to Bezdin or to a board.
In that scenario that we just discussed, so if the guy with the 10 children wants to build and I went to the zoning board, I'm Taka Maser?
It's not a question of Maser, it's not Masira. The question is, you're not right.
Am I also to make a complaint?
We're not talking about complaining when the guy's making the extension. We're talking about, I want to stop him, and the board's not going to give him the variances. And therefore, his house is worthless to him now. He was living there, he's going to have to move. You didn't do it right then. You were mazikin. Because if you think rationally, there's nothing wrong with what he's doing. The board has no problem allowing it. They'll give him the variance. Enough neighbors show up, they're going to say, we don't need this. And they'll walk away and say, forget it, they'll turn him down. That doesn't mean you had a right to have him turned down. He wasn't doing anything wrong. We're talking about where there is a real issue, where there's something that the neighbors have a valid point why they don't want it happening. I don't want subdivision. I don't want...
So I would owe him that as...
Would you owe him? That's very hard to see you would owe him. I mean, it's... it's Rama and it's Garmi, and one neighbor wouldn't be able to do it on his own anyway. It would probably be a case of Vasarsha also, and which neighbor are you going to be Mechayiv anyway? I wouldn't say you're Chayiv, but you're not right. You're definitely not right for doing it. That is a very good idea. Yeah. Either a Bezin or a Rov, somebody responsible and a third party that's not involved. Yeah, Bezin doesn't have a good handle on these things, usually in their own town. It's very interesting. In Lakewood, whenever we have issues of zoning planning, everybody runs to Monsi Bezin. And there's a reason for it. There's a real reason for it. The reason is, in Muncie, they understand congestion a lot better. They don't understand what you have against Mexicans. They don't live with them. And a lot of people from out of town come running to Lakewood. Because if you're from Brooklyn, it's very good to go to a Lakewood Bezdin and say, the guy's crawling all over me. And Bezdin says, how can you do this? Somebody, how can you live like that? It's very important to get a Bezdin that understands your issues and the way you live and what you're doing there. I actually just had a shadow from Eretz Yisrael. Somebody called that. So I'm not even talking to you. I don't know what... I forgot the name, the Vayakov. Looks like I was never there. It's not going to help you. I can't answer you. Okay, that's as far as the Shaila. And the Weinberg is just to finish by discussing a little bit the question of Ilonis, trees. Questions that come up all the time. Just the basic parameters. Tree growing in one neighbor's yard is overhanging the next neighbor. As far as Mazik is concerned, he's not considered, if the tree falls, if it damages the other property, he's not considered a mazik unless he was forewarned by a bezdin, or it was extremely obvious that there was going to be a hezek. If Hurricane Irene comes through and takes out a tree, that's not his problem anymore, it's the problem of the guy that it fell on. It's if the termites are eating away at it, and everybody's telling him, excuse me, you know, if you don't take down this tree, it's going to come down one day, then it is your hezek. And Shulchan Aruch says, bezdin has to be master. If it's obvious and he had enough ample warning from anyone that's legitimate, that would also be considered enough of a hasra. An interesting shayla that comes up every so often is, it's true, your potter, your tree came down, it destroyed my shed, I understand, you don't have to pay, I want to go to your insurance. And the other guy says, you can't go to my insurance, my rates are going to go up. He says, how do you not let me go to your insurance? I'm just going to call your insurance counsel, so you go to your insurance company. It's not so simple. His rates will go up, you are gayer him hezek, and if he didn't owe you the money for the hezek to have him from the tree, you probably have no right to go that route. Payers that grow off a tree are the property of whoever owns the actual tree. Not the branches, but the guf ha'ilam, wherever it is growing, that's who owns the payers. In a very interesting shuvah, the Meshach Hanukkah points out that this is not a takana, this is me'ik adin, and therefore it would be appropriate even if your neighbor is a goy and he has his apple tree hanging over your yard and you never ask him, you assume he doesn't mind, and you're picking apples off his tree, you're a ganav. And your name is Zakum Mazalsa. It's not something that...
So if he's a yin, you're a yin, and the payers fall into your yard, you have a shot of anything exactly.
Right. You could call him and tell him, listen, either get them out of here or I'm running them over. That's possible because that's the third thing we're getting to is if he's being mazik you with his branches, which means in Shulchan Aruch the cases are that you have branches overhanging your shusram, branches overhanging the field, I can't plow, I can't travel, I can't go. Shulchan Aruch is very case specific how much of the branches you're allowed to cut down. If it's a shusram, as high as a gomel with its packages, if it's your own field, it's as much as a cow takes to plow. Each and every case is very specific. Obviously, if you have a different case, which is not delineated in Shulchan Aruch, over your sukkah, you could definitely cut it down. It says if it's touching your gad, and you can't be meteach, they used to have to tar their roof every few years. Yes?
No, sorry. So what about like all these leaves are coming?
Fine, cut it down. If you can't tar your roof, you could cut it down. Very interesting note is he can't tell you who asked you to raise your roof so high that it's touching my tree. And therefore, I'm allowed to do whatever I want on my property. I could raise my roof, I could build the second and third floor, and then cut down his tree, saying, you're being mazik me. This comes from Shuvas HaGoinim, which is very, very interesting, because if you ever think of the classic case where somebody comes to you with a gun, your money or your life. It's Yadua, in the case of a Raidiv, if I'm able to save the Raidiv by shooting him in the leg and not killing him, it's also to kill him, and if I do kill him, I'm a Reitzeach. Now, if somebody comes to me with a gun and says, give me your money or I'll kill you, why am I not mechuyav to give him the money as a means of saving him and not killing him? Why am I allowed to kill him? And from this Shuvas HaGoinim, it would be apparent that I'm allowed to do what I want with my things. And if you interfere, that's your problem. I'm not mechuyav to give up my money for you. It's a very interesting raya to this, the Gemara says, by Pinchas and Zimri. If Zimri would have turned around and killed Pinchas, he wouldn't have been killed, because Pinchas was a Raidiv. Zimri wasn't really Chayiv Misa. He was only a Baal Aramis. If he would have turned around and killed Pinchas, he would have been Potter. The question is, why wasn't he Mechuyav to be Perish? He was doing an Aveira. Pinchas was killing him legitimately, and he could have saved Pinchas by being Perish, and the minute he's Perish, Pinchas wouldn't have killed him. And even in such a case, we say, I'm doing what I'm doing, and you have no right to interfere in what I'm doing, and if you do, I can react accordingly, and you have no right to get involved. Okay, that's basically the loss of a tree. I just want to end with 2 minutes of Inyan Diyema.
Who pays
for what? To cut the tree?
Yeah.
Pashas the Mazik has to pay. If he's being Mazik, if he's a real Mazik, it's a big machlekes. But the Pashas, if his Chiyuv is Mitam Mazik, then a mazik has to stop. A mazik has to stop.
In case of landscape or in case of my sukkah, I just don't like this tree in my yard.
No, I just don't like it. It's not enough. I can't cut it down. I'm damaging his tree. He's ruining my sukkah, which means he's a mazik.
So who has to cut it?
Good question. The pashtus, the owner of the tree, has to.
Why do I have to put my sukkah under this tree? I don't feel like.
Well, that's what we were discussing. I'm doing that. I'm living. This is where I put my sukkah.
But it's someplace else that we're paying for.
Okay, keep your house lower. Why are you keeping your roof so high and then telling me that my tree's in the way, you can't fit your roof?
I was there
first. No, you don't have to be there first. That's wrong. You don't have to be there first. You could come afterwards and raise your roof and then tell him get out. Because he is a mazik by the fact that his tree is overhanging my property. He's being mazik. This is my tree. This is my property. He doesn't belong here.
If I cut it down, could I make him? Could I just leave the branches fallen in the neighbor's yard? It's his tree. His branches. I'm doing him a favor. I'm not charging him to cut his tree down. But do I have to remove the branches? Or could I just let it fall into the yard?
Well, they fell in your yard. You only allowed to cut down the branches that are over your yard.
I know, but I'm very good at cutting branches. I know how to make it fall.
Well, they are his branches. The truth is, he's entitled for the branches to firewood. You could innocently say, I thought you wanted them, they're yours. I don't ever pass the fish mish without both parties there. I'm sorry.
In our Marmot, to the Celtic Gospel, the Banister correctly says that the Nizik has
to.
I know, but not
everyone's
Nazca. Not everyone's Nazca. Depends how much of a hezek it is also.
Let's look at Shoshim and
Shoshim. Shoshim, it could be took many, many years, and the hezek is not as nick. That's what the Chalukim say, the Shoshim are on the ground, it's not as nick, it's you don't want it being mazgibba, and here it's obvious. Okay. Are they wanting to say what the hezek has to be? Yes, if he wasn't 4-1. That's not a problem, because the insurance company has them, and they go by the Nakam. The Nakam, they won't pay if they're not Mechayev. Not a problem, they're going. you would have a problem, except that they would have to be mechayev themselves in such cases also, otherwise they wouldn't have a license. An insurance company is not chayev for anything. They're chayev for whatever they mechayev themselves. See, this is a very big problem with insurance companies. When you get into a car accident, if in dina ater yipata, and the sentence is very open, the person says, I could sue you, I'll get $50,000. Let's not talk about the multi-million dollar losses, but there is real pain, there is real injury, and I'll get $50,000. But on dina ater yipata, how do we look at insurance companies? The pashtus from insurance company is, and not everybody agrees with this, I'll tell you very straight, if you ever have the shayla, make sure you do your homework who you bought the is. But the pashtus, the yisod of insurance company is, I paid somebody to cover my chiyuvim. It has nothing to do with the nizik. The nizik has no right to turn around and say, who's your insurance company? I want to go there. If I owe you money, I have an agreement with somebody that they're going to cover me. But that doesn't mean that that has anything to do with you. So between mazik and nizik, let's first go to Bez and find out if I'm chayiv. If I'm potter, leave me alone. And theoretically, even if my insurance will only go up $100 a year, and you'll stand to gain $50,000, I have every right to tell you I'm not interested. I might be a rosh, I might need the time to do that. But in the pure mechanics of insurance, that's really what's going on. And mainly, you really, it's none of your business who my insurance company is. If we do go to an insurance company, they will mechayev themselves to cover anything that theoretically I can be sued for, and therefore they'll have to pay, even if they're a Yiddish company, because that's what they will mechayev themselves. I just want to say over, we sat, we discussed our place, townships, trees. It's all the really complaint. It was all given me sinai. I just want to say over one yisoid that I was mekabel from my Rebbe who laid back. It was mekabel from his Rebbe, Rebbe Yochum, the Meir Mashkiach. Rebbe Yochum got up in the Meir Yeshiva once and asked the following question. If a person has one of two choices, either every human being in the entire universe will be Maka HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yehosu Kulam Aguda Echas Asas Hatsen Kadei V'Shalem, that all the discussion will be is Tvei Shemayim. Except one Shartzen, swinging in the trees in Africa. It's not that he's denying anything, it's not that he doesn't, he has no clue. He has no idea what's going on. That's one choice. On the other hand, another 2,000 years of pogroms, inquisitions, holocausts, machos, and at the end of the 2,000 years, that shartz will also be makar kvetchenayim. Rabbi Yochum said in Mishnah Dikei Yisoid, he said, if anybody will take the first choice, it means he has no hakara whatsoever what kvetchenayim is all about. A few years I walked around, Babel, what is he talking about? What is he saying? Until I realized I'm ready to gaza. There's one of two ways when you stand on Shami and Kippur and you daven Yeda Kol Kol Kiyata Palatoi, Yavin Kol Yitzuk Kiyata Yitzartoi. I can either sit and think about myself, my family, my friends, my neighbors, the Friday neighbors down the street, the Israelis, the Egyptians, Obama. I can think about everybody and sit one by one feeling the Yeda Kol Kol Kiyata Palatoi, Halavaya Kon Shrochu, this one would recognize you, Halavaya that one. How like Hillary Clinton, where everybody we could sit and discuss everybody that should be Maka Kvet Shemayim. They'll take you to Lexium Kippur and you'll still never finish. It's not going to happen. But there's another Nahalach. There's a blinding flash of light in Hakaras Kvet Shemayim that the whole world will all of a sudden wake up to incredible awareness of what Kadosh Baruch Hu is all about. And that way, everything's taken care of in one big sort. When that happens, it's not the pshat that the shartz will also understand. It's in Africa, it won't be shayach for there to be a single human being that's not makar kvet shemayim. When the kvet shemayim that we're davening for in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is a kvet shemayim that will be so overwhelming and so enlightening and so inspiring that it's not possible for any bria, anywhere on the Kadosh Baruch Hu, not to be makar kvet shemayim and not to be oimen on the godless of Machos Yis Baruch. And when we get to that madrega, that's what Rabbi Yochum meant. You have no idea what it means, Kvet Shemayim. You have no idea how light it's going to be when Mashiach finally comes out of Gavri. I have one ha'orah to say. That's the Shuvah Kvali. That's what we're davening for Kvet Shemayim. Between us, Proteus, when we want to be married for Shemaim, the Frata says to make sure that and the highest one we want in our lives. Think about this next time we have a fight with our neighbor that we want to go to the zoning board. Think about this the next time we have a question of a sukkah with a tree and it's overhanging my sukkah. I couldn't make my sukkah next, on the next set of blocks. I didn't want to make a dafka here. And realize that if we take the big picture into effect and we're looking for Kvei Shemayim and we say we're going to stay very, very, very focused on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be focused on and from us should only come out Kiddush Hashem Shemayim, then a lot of the shailas and a lot of the dickering and problems that we have in our own kehillas may fall by the wayside. And the first step we have before we get to Shani and Pekka, and we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that for his sake it should be that way, is to show him that between ourselves we're also masking. We're also masking on our own level to bring out that Kvei Shemayim and not to be busy with little things anymore, but we're going to try to work on ourselves to be busy with big things. This year, the the whole world.